You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. We got a fun show for you tonight. I look back at the lineup from last night's 3-2 victory over the A's for the Angels, and I look through this lineup, a lot of youth, and that includes Albert Pujols, if you want to call him youthful. And we're going to look back at some of the old scouting reports on some of these players. Now, these scouting reports come from MLB Pipeline or other sources, and I'm going to quote who the scouting report was from and the timeline that it was from. But I think we're going to have a lot of fun with today's show. So hope you get to stick around and enjoy the show. Before we do anything, though, we got to remind you to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes through the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya podcasting app. Free and easy to download through your Apple app or Google Play Store. Also, you can check out Locked On Angels through your smart device. Just say, "Hey Alexa, play Locked On," then say Angels, and you know what? Hopefully I'll be right there with you during that time. Like we said, though, for today's show, we are going to talk about some old scouting reports. Now, the Angels did use 15 players. We're going to get the report on all 15 players that did play for the Angels last night. We're going to start off with the leadoff man and David Fletcher. Now, just before I get into this, David Fletcher has been such a thrilling player this year. I was talking to a listener just not that long ago, Wild Bill, who is in Saudi Arabia. Actually, I believe he moved back to Colorado recently. And he's, you know, there are so many people that talk about David Fletcher as their new favorite Angels player. And Wild Bill was telling me, you know, hey, I was a big fan of all these guys, but David Fletcher is my new favorite player. And it's a common theme. He is something exciting. I think the scouting report is going to help you with this. This is from MLB Pipeline in 2017, and this is what it says. It says, when you're a slightly undersized infielder who is known as a gamer in the Angels system, chances are you're going to be compared to David Eckstein. Eckstein, of course, played 10 years in the big leagues, and while it's too early to predict a similar outcome with the Angels' sixth-round pick from 2015, he's headed in the right direction by making it to Double-A in his first full season. Fletcher didn't start out well as he tried to play through multiple injuries, particularly a wrist issue he didn't want to disclose was bothering him as much as it was. After he missed more than a month, things started to click and he had a very strong second half that carried him up to the Texas League. Fletcher has very good contact skills and a patient approach at the plate, putting the ball in play, albeit without much power, and rarely striking out. His arm at shortstop is average at best, but it's accurate. While his instincts and quick hands allow him to stay at the position, he'll have to prove at every level where he can play there. That he can play there, I apologize. Though he's also shown that he can handle second base without too much difficulty. Now in the upper levels of the system, Fletcher isn't too far off from contributing to the big league roster. It might be as a valuable utility man, but don't be surprised if he carves out a regular role at some point. Now, if you're not unfamiliar with the 20 to 80 grade scouting reports, you know, a 20 grade is worse, or a 20 grade is the worst you can have, an 80 grade is the best you can have. And I'm going to scout, in a sense, or give grades to these scouting reports. So this one on David Fletcher from MLB Pipeline, that is about as 80 grade a report you can have. We look at David Fletcher, you know, a fantastic second baseman. He's capable of playing shortstop, doesn't have a lot of power, a lot of high contact, good contact skills, patient approach. Maybe the patient approach thing, maybe you knock it, so you know, maybe it's a 70 grade report here, but talk about spot on from Pipeline. And David Fletcher is such an exciting player right now. Like I said, this one from MLB Pipeline in 2017, and I think it's spot on. Now, going along with this, I'm not going to tell you where this player was ranked or whatever it is. I'm just reading the report. So this one is on Brian Goodwin, who batted second last night, from MLB Pipeline, once again, from 2015. An athletic, toolsy outfielder, Goodwin impressed during his professional debut in 2012, reaching Double-A Harrisburg and finishing the year in the Arizona Fall League. He wasn't able to repeat that success over the next two seasons, and a torn labrum in his left shoulder kept him out for the last 2 months of the 2014 season. Goodwin's raw tools earned him a $3 million bonus as a 2011 supplemental first-rounder and remain impressive, but he'll need to make some adjustments to tap into them. He's a patient hitter, knows how to get on base, and at his best, uses the whole field to hit. He creates good bat speed and has worked to simplify his swing, but there's a fair amount of swing and miss in his game, and he struggles against left-handers. Defensively, Goodwin's speed, arm strength, and instincts make him a solid defender. His speed and defense should be good enough to get him to the big leagues, and he still has the ability to be an everyday center fielder if he can put everything together. Now, I'm going to give this one, it's spot on. Once again, from MLB Pipeline 2015, and MLB Pipeline does usually quote scouts or kind of paraphrase scouts' comments in the report. So this, I think MLB Pipeline in total is one of the better assets when you're looking at these reports. He is athletic. The one thing I'm missing here is his ability, his bat control ability. And like I said, this is from 2015. We're 4 years later. He's been a major leaguer for this time, but uses the whole field to hit, creates good bat speed, very, true. Fair amount of swing and miss. Now, that's kind of changed, and his struggles against left-handers have really changed. He had reverse splits last year. I haven't looked at his splits this year, but I'm going to give this report at least a 60 grade, if not a 70 grade. This is pretty spot on. And like I said, they're talking about him as a potential fourth outfielder on defense alone. His defense is almost his worst asset this year, which is very unique to say. But potential fourth outfielder with a chance to be an everyday fielder. And we're seeing it this year with Brian Goodwin. So this is a 60 grade report, in my opinion. Next one here comes from Ben Lindbergh, who is quoting a scout. This was from The Ringer in 2000, or the scout was in 2000 doing this. And this is on Albert Pujols, future Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest right-handed hitters of all time, Albert Pujols. This scouting report says, laid-back approach to the game, lazy out of the box, no hustle, has some showboat in him, lacks hard work, don't put in quality time and pregame work, ball jumps off bat, strong swing, hard solid contact, attacks ball, shows playable carry on throws from third base, makes plays at third base, shows quick reactions, has soft playable hands, drifts through stroke on swing, will get out in front to reach for balls, still learning situations while on base, struggles with throwing accuracy on the move, likes pitches low in the zone, struggles with belt high and up, breaking balls away. Valued at Reds and Minors, Major League Tops, regular on second division role team, role third baseman. Oh, my God. I feel bad. And you know what? This is early in Albert's career, but you want to talk about no hustle? My ass. Oh, my God. Albert Pujols is ultimate hustle. And, this is time. Albert's, 20 years old when this report's written, but this scout, he's going to be a role third baseman and a regular on a second division team. You're talking about a Hall of Fame caliber. I mean, not a Hall of Fame caliber, a surefire Hall of Famer. This report gets maybe because of the attack. This is a 20 grade report, and it's from a scout. It's not from Ben Lindbergh. This is from a literal scout, a professional scout, someone that does this for a living. Oh, my gosh. This is a very poor report from this scout. I don't know who the scout is, and that's fine. But, sometimes scouts get them wrong. This is a horrendous report, 20 grade for me on this one. Let's move on to Cole Calhoun, once again, from MLB Pipeline in 2011. The senior signed out of Arizona State went straight to the Class A Advanced California League for his first full season and promptly led the system in homers, finished second in RBIs, and ended up third in the Cal League in OPS. He then followed that up by double jumping to AAA, more than holding his own and making his major league debut in 2012. He has a very good approach at the plate, draws walks, and doesn't strike out much, especially considering his extra base ability. He could hit his way to the big leagues playing an outfield corner and or first base. I don't like statistical reports. I think they're kind of lazy, and I'm not saying, this is back then, and this is a little bit of a tough analysis on a late rounder. He did have a good approach at the plate, but he does strike out about average. he could hit his way to the big leagues is a little bit different compared to what Cole Calhoun has done with his career. He has had a very successful career. I'm going to give this an org filler report analysis. This is a 30 grade report. I'm going to give it that. So, tough on Cole Calhoun. But next one here is from MLB Pipeline, once again, in 2011. This one is on Kevin Smith. So it says, the Pitt product is a good athlete who also played quarterback in college. I did not know that. And had a very good pro debut at two rookie levels in 2011. As a senior sign, that's to be expected, but Smith does have some pop at the plate and showed some early plate discipline. His arm strength allowed him to throw at 34% of would-be base stealers. He got a stiffer challenge with a move to full-season ball in 2012 and responded well, earning a promotion to Class A Advanced Winston-Salem in July. This, once again, is not really a report. It's more of a breakdown. Not my favorite thing. Arm strength hasn't really been a strong asset for Kevin Smith. I mean, he's okay behind the plate throwing runners out. The game's different, though, and things have changed. But there's not really a report here. Outside of he has some pop at the plate, showed some early plate discipline and his arm strength. I don't know. Another 30-grade one for me. Not my favorite one here. And looking back at these 2011 reports, a lot of them are very similar to this. They're very kind of simple, standard. So I'm not going to give them like horrendous reports, but I don't like reviews. I like real reports. So just my two cents. I did not know that Kevin Smith was a quarterback, though, at Pitt. So I will bump this up. It's a 35-grade report. I'll give it a half grade between a 3 and a 4. Two more reports, then we're going to head to a short break. This one is the most recent one. It's 2019, this year's report from MLB Pipeline on Jared Walsh. It says, Walsh had an up-and-down career as a two-way player at Georgia, serving at times as a lefty swingman and showing glimpses of offensive ability as a hitter. Taken with no expectations as a 39th round senior sign, Walsh focused on his bat for much of his pro career. Playing mostly first base and a little outfield, he's always hit well, then broke out across three levels and led the organization RBI to finish tied for the lead in home runs. At the same time, he started reintroducing pitching to his resume, showing some aptitude as a lefty reliever and making it to the big leagues in May as a two-way player. Very accurate. Walsh's raw power from the left side has always been intriguing, and he started tapping into it more consistently in 2018. There were plenty of strikeouts, but also a much higher walk rate, and that improved approach helped him get more pitches to drive. Defensively, he probably is a first baseman only, but it's the bat that gives him a chance to hit in the big leagues. It's hard to evaluate what kind of pitcher Walsh is without any real instruction or program. He was touching 93 with his fastball and could spin an occasional plus breaking ball. After Walsh's offseason with a dedicated throwing program, the Angels are anxious to see if he can be a two-way player at the highest level. So this report obviously comes out kind of roughly the time that he was becoming a major leaguer. It's a short report, but I think it's very accurate. You know, there is a chance that the bat is what's going to play, and that's what really made him a major leaguer is his bat. As for the pitching, you know, the report's simple. I mean, that's we know what Jared Walsh is when it comes to pitching. He's a scrappy, you know, fill-in sometime here guy and position player to do it, but he's got, you know, he could pitch at least, he could throw. This report's fine. I mean, it's fine. It's not like a perfect one or an average one. I'll give it a 50 grade on that report. So how about one more before we head to break? This one on Taylor Ward, not me, the other Taylor Ward, from MLB Pipeline in 2017. Says, perhaps the surprise of the 2015 draft when the Angels took him in the first round, Ward rewarded their faith with a strong pro debut, making his way to full season ball. His first full season didn't go nearly as well, though a vastly improved second half helped offset some disappointment when he didn't dominate the California League and he made it up at AA in year two. Ward had trouble early on adjusting to more advanced stuff he faced and got away from the approach that had served him so well during his debut. At his best, he is patient in drawing walks, which should help him hit for average with some extra base production. Ward's standout tool is his plus arm, and he controls the running game well. Working with Jose Molina, Ward also made strides in his receiving and could eventually be better than average with that and his game-calling skills. Many in the industry see Ward as a future backup because of questions about his offensive upside. Those questions still remain, though, as time to develop into a big league regular behind the plate. So this is this report came before he had moved over to third base or left field. Obviously, they still had him as a catcher. Obviously, the catching part didn't really work out, and it's tough to kind of know that in the report when the position change hadn't happened yet before this. So I'm not going to knock this report a ton on that. As for the hit, now, when he is, you know, this is very true. When he is patient and he's focusing on his pitch, he does have a chance to hit. It's just that he has struggled with major league pitching, and it's, you know, guys do that. So when it comes to this report, Well, I mean, it's a little bit of a future report. He was a big surprise in the first round when he was taken. I'm going to give this a 45 grade. It's not an average grade. I'm just going to put it at a 45 grade. But hopefully you're enjoying this. I'm having fun with it. We do have to head to a break. Before we do that, though, we're going to talk about Breaking Tea. Now, this is a company that I'm really happy to have on board with Locked On Angels and the Locked On Podcast Network. They create T-shirts, and when you think about sports, a lot of the sports have passionate moments. And with every team, every fan base, they have these passionate moments. Now, Breaking Tea jumps on that moment and makes T-shirts that make that moment live forever on a T-shirt. These are the moments that our listeners live for. And when these moments, we'll join in with Breaking Tea and make these shirts available for our listeners through www.breakingtea.com/lockedon. Now, I check this out. I love what they have going on there. Some really exciting stuff. Especially for the Angels as well. So go check them out. Once again, that's www.breakingtea.com/lockedon. I think you're really going to enjoy this. Really happy to have Breaking Tea on. We'll be right back with more Locked On Angels right after a quick word from our sponsors. I was talking to someone the other day about how when Jimi Hendrix came onto the scene, no one had ever heard that sound before. And the greatest guitarist of all time, along with one of the greatest songwriters of all time, and Bob Dylan. Man, All on the Watchtower, such a great song. Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. Glad to have you on board. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. We're breaking down old scouting reports on the guys that played for the Angels last night, 15 of them. We did have 7 in the first half. We're going to have 8 here in the second segment. Really happy to have this part of the show. So let's just get into it here with another recent one, Michael Hermosillo. That is from MLB Pipeline 2018. Michael Hermosillo did come in as a sub in yesterday. So this is a report. It says, players taken in the 28th round of the draft, even athletic two-sport standouts like Hermosillo, don't enter pro ball with a ton of expectations. Hermosillo signed for $100,000 back in the 2013 and has consistently outperformed his draft status, including hitting his way across 3 levels up to AAA in 2017 and earning a spot on the 40-man roster. That led to his first big league call-up in 2018. After a slow start to his pro career, things really started to click for Hermosillo in 2016 when he hit over 300 and got on base more than 40% of the time. He kept hitting and showing an advanced approach at the plate in 2017, earning 2 promotions in the process. He continued to draw walks, and while his strikeout rate went up, he doesn't chase very often and showed some more extra base pop, especially late in the season. He's always had good speed and used it with much greater success a year ago, leading the organization in stolen bases. Hermosillo continues to see time in all 3 outfield spots, though he's played more center field than anywhere else. His future is likely to be that of a very valuable 4th outfielder, but if his defense and base running continue to improve, the Angels are not ruling out the 23-year-old developing into more of an impact type of big leaguer. Now, this is pretty true, and this is, you know, you're talking about the Angels here. We've followed Michael Hermosillo for quite some time here, especially with this show. You know, the 28th rounder two-sport thing, he did sign for $100,000, and he was a great football player out in Illinois. Actually, he had a chance to. You know, he played with Ezekiel Elliott, and you know his status. I mean, this is a pretty accurate report. This is about a 50 grade report. You know, 50 grade is average, and I think this is a very average report. It's stating exactly what Michael Hermosillo is. In time, you know, they see him as a 4th outfielder. There's a chance that he could be more if things kind of progress, which that's kind of essentially everyone, but. Pretty standard and a good report here from MLB Pipeline. Another one here from Pipeline from 2018, Matt Theis. Now, this is the report here from MLB Pipeline. Taken in the middle of the first round as perhaps the most advanced college bat in the 2016 draft class, Theis was believed to be the type of hitter who could move quickly through the system. That was especially true since he was immediately moved from behind the plate where he played at the University of Virginia to first base. He did make his way to AA in his first full season and capped things off with a stint in the Arizona Fall League. Theis utilizes an advanced approach at the plate to see a lot of pitches and draw walks, leading to a system-best 77 free passes at his first full season and a .375 on-base percentage. That, combined with a contact-oriented philosophy, should allow him to hit for a high average, and it was encouraging that he performed better in that category after his move up to AA in 2017. There are concerns that Theis won't have the power to fit the first base profile, but there is more pop for him to tap into, and he sees value in knocking out 30 doubles annually while trying to get on base at a 40% clip, a pace he was keeping up in AA. Theis has continued to work on his defense at his new position, something he prioritized in 2017, and he should be capable there. With some depth at first base and DH, the Angels can give Theis time to develop on both sides of the ball. So this is before the move to third base. I think it's pretty accurate. You know, we do know that Matt Theis does draw a lot of walks. He sees a lot of pitches. The contact is there, and you know, the power kind of has changed. And this is something that we know because we're more tapped in, and this is still a year old report, and we've seen Matt Theis now at the major league level. Still another 50 grade report here. It's very average. It's pretty accurate. Simple as that. You know, let's keep it there. And I think that they've kind of gotten it right with what Matt Theis is and will become. Nothing bad there. So next one here is, once again, MLB Pipeline. A lot of these are from MLB Pipeline. This one from 2015 on Caleb Cowart. Now, this one might be interesting. Says here, Cowart impressed during his full season debut in 2012, but struggled mildly in his next two seasons, both with AA Arkansas. The former first-rounder went unprotected and unpicked in the 2014 Rule 5 draft, but a move back down to the California League in 2015 appears to have helped him right the ship. When he's at his best, Cowart puts himself in a good position to hit and can drive the ball to all fields. He spent two seasons out of sort at the plate, with his approach suffering, which in turn limited his power and increased the swing and misses. During his turnaround, his timing improved, and he was getting into better hitter counts more consistently. That and his refound confidence have come at the perfect time. Thanks to his makeup, Cowart never took his offensive problems onto the field, remaining a talented defender at third base with a strong arm and good hands. Still only 23, Cowart has reemerged with plenty of time to fulfill the promise that made him a first-round pick back in 2010. So, yeah, this report, it comes from 2015, and we think about what happened in 2015. He went back down to the Cal League. He met with Brent Del Chiaro, the hitting coach down there, really rechanged some things that made him successful. Something really happened wrong when he went to AA for those two seasons. Did not work out well with that. I don't remember who the hitting coach was there at the time, but just did not pan out well. And, Caleb Cowart did have a turnaround, went from the Cal League to AAA pretty quick, and suddenly he was a major leaguer within no time at all back in 2015. And now we're seeing that he still struggles. He's just not the guy that you really wanted him to become, but he is a major leaguer, and that's an impressive thing in itself. So this report, it's not great, but it's not incorrect either. Especially for the time that it was written. So it's still a 30, 40 grade there. I'll go half grade here, 35 grades. So let's dive into the pitchers here. This one is on Dylan Peters, who started last night for the Angels. Once again, from MLB Pipeline, it says, Peters likely would have been picked in the early rounds of the 2011 draft out of high school if he didn't have a seven-figure price tag. The Indians took a flyer on the Southpaw in the 20th round, though as expected, he instead honored his commitment to Texas. After three consistent seasons as a starter for the Longhorns, Peters was expected to come off the board in the first three rounds of the 2014 draft before he sustained an elbow injury in May that ultimately required Tommy John surgery. The Marlins ended up nabbing Peters in the 10th round and signed him for a bonus of $175,000. At 5'9", 195 pounds, Peters doesn't have the look of a classic big league starter. However, enough good things can't be said about his stuff and his ability to compete on the mound. His pitches to contact with three offerings that play out because of his ability to locate them on either side of the plate and down in the strike zone. Peters' best pitch is a tight 76 to 80 mile per hour curveball. His fastball has good sinking action at 88 to 92 miles per hour, and he'll cut at times to give batters a different look. He can also get outs with his deceptive circle change, which he masks nicely with a fastball-like arm action. Though he struggled during his 2015 pro debut in the Class A short season New York Penn League, Peters has come onto his own this year as Class A advanced Florida State League, despite bypassing the Class A level entirely. So this is early in Dylan Peters' career as a professional. This was MLB Pipeline 2016. I think it's pretty spot on. You know, he is a small guy, and there's some struggles. There's obviously a backstory there. But he's a small guy, and that's going to kind of challenge him. But the makeup and his ability to compete really are an asset. We're seeing it this year. Dylan Peters has kind of been very underrated when it comes to being a pitcher for the Angels. But he has a lot of usable pitches. It's deceptive work, and he pitches to contact. I like this report. I think it's pretty spot on when we're thinking about Dylan Peters. I think this is a 60 grade report. Very spot on from Pipeline here, even early in his career, which I think is kind of remarkable to see when you're talking about a report that's so early in his career. I really, really enjoy this report. So 60 grade report here for Pipeline. Next one here is on Noe Ramirez. Now, I had to kind of search for this one. It was a little bit of a struggle, but this is from 2015 from John Sickles over at SB Nation. It says, Ramirez doesn't have the blazing fastball normally associated with relievers. His fastball tops out at 92 on his best days and averages 89 to 90. The pitch has some outside run and can play up due to contrast with a very good changeup. His breaking ball is inconsistent, ranging from solid at times to below average at times. Pitch FX splits it between a slider and curve depending on the specific pitch in question, though scouting reports describe it as a slider. Overall, his stuff grades out as average. What sets Ramirez apart potentially is sharp command and superior makeup, a guy who can throw strikes and keep hitters off balance, and the first game aside, Ramirez can do these things. Can have a long career and make some money as a middle reliever. So, yeah, I mean, this is pretty accurate here from John Sickles, and I've been critical of John Sickles in the past, but I think this is very accurate. You know, we're talking about maybe a little bit of a comment here. His pitch does run a little bit more, and his slider has become more refined, but that's as he's become a more solidified major leaguer, so that's fine. But it is average stuff with a sub-average fastball. That's noted. The command is very good, does keep hitters off balance, and yeah, you know, he could have a long career as a middle reliever. I think this is pretty accurate here. It's not noting anything wrong. So, John, if you're tuning in, you know, sorry for being critical of you at times, but I had to find this report because there are no reports on Noe Ramirez from his amateur days. So, John really stepped up here. Great job from John Sickles, and that is a 70-grade report, no doubt in my mind. Really strong report there, so appreciate that one. Three more coming your way. This one from MLB Pipeline 2015 on Adalberto Mejia. It says, Mejia found adversity as a pro for the first time as a pro in 2014, and plenty of it. He got hammered in the first half of the season as a youngster starter in the AA Eastern League, then got hit with a 50-game suspension in November after testing positive for a stimulant. As disappointing as last year was, Mejia still profiles as a possible number three starter. He has added 3 to 4 miles per hour to his fastball since signing for $350,000 as an 18-year-old in 2011 and now operates at 91 to 95 with sinking and tailing action. His low 80 slider has bite and his changeup features sink when he doesn't overthrow it, though both need to be more consistent. Mejia can also can mix in an occasional curveball, though it lags behind his other pitches. He throws with minimal effort and repeats his delivery, so he never has trouble throwing strikes. He can do a better job of locating his pitches within the strike zone, which will be a point of emphasis when he returns. So this was early in Adalberto Mejia's career when he was with the Giants. And sadly, you know, it didn't work out. He's kind of a fringe reliever when we're talking about a number three starter. I mean, that's a big gap, being a number three starter to a up-and-down reliever or kind of the last reliever of the crew. So, I mean, there are some accuracies here in this report. It's not as bad as the Pujols report, but it is kind of a 30-grade one. And, you know, like I said, sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. We've had the report on David Fletcher, which could not have been more perfect, and we have this one on Pujols and Fletcher or Mejia here. Not exactly perfect. So, but I do think this one might – well, we'll see how it goes. It's a recent one from MLB Pipeline on Ty Buttrey, and this is what it says from, like I said, MLB Pipeline 2018 on Ty Buttrey. The Red Sox's biggest overslot signing in the 2012 draft, Buttrey spurned an Arkansas commitment to sign for $1.3 million in the fourth round. He struggled as a starter, and when he recorded a 6.08 ERA in AA, Boston made him a full-time reliever in June 2016. He's had more success coming out of the bullpen and has adapted well to AAA after getting tagged for a 7.64 ERA in his first taste of the level last summer, increasing his value enough to be included in a trade that sent Ian Kinsler to the Red Sox. Buttrey worked with a low 90s fastball that peaked at 96 in high school, but his velocity dropped for much of his time as a pro starter. He began throwing harder again after making mechanical adjustments in 2015 and harder still once he moved to the bullpen and worked shorter stints. He operated at 93 to 98 for much of last season before sitting in the upper 90s and touching 101 in the Arizona Fall League. Buttrey's fastball isn't as overpowering as it seems because it straightens out and he doesn't command it consistently. He can miss bats with a circle changeup that features splitter action, but has never come up with a reliable breaking pitch, scrapping a knuckle curve and conventional curve in favor of a low 80s slider with modest break. While he can tighten up a radar, while he can light up a radar gun, he probably won't be more than a middle reliever unless he can harness his pitches. So, not the greatest report here on Ty Buttrey. And we think about what Ty Buttrey's done since coming over to the Angels. Now, we did find out, you know, some of this had a little bit to do with contact lenses, figuring out a few things. But this splitter pitch that they're talking about, he does use that, but when it talks about not having a reliable breaking ball, Ty Buttrey's got a really fair slider. It's a usable slider. And his fastball can straighten out, but usually it's got a bit of life to it. And it do note that it is sitting in the upper 90s. This report's not my favorite one here. And relievers are probably the hardest thing to figure out because you're not grading them usually as relievers when you're doing reports as a minor leaguer because most of them are starters when they're doing this. Got to be about a 35. I'm going to split the hairs here and give it a 35 grade report. So last one here, and I really hope you're enjoying this. It's something that I'm just kind of going back and having fun with. And I don't know. It's been exciting to kind of deal with, and I'm enjoying it. This one was hard to find. It's from Steve Sipa of SB Nation from 2015. This is the Mets SB Nation page on Hansel Robles. And this one was about the hardest one to find. So Steve is strictly talking about the arsenal here. It says, Robles isn't a particularly big guy, standing 5'11 and weighing around 200 pounds, but he has a good fastball for a pitcher his size and stature. Earlier in his career as a starter, it sat in the low 90s, touching 93 and 95 at times, but since moving into his current role as a reliever and adjusting his mechanics slightly, his fastball sits in the mid-90s and has been reported as high as 98 miles per hour. In addition to speed, his fastball has life, running arm side to hitters thanks to the angles at which it's thrown. He has no major problems commanding the pitch, throwing it for strikes or out of the zone at will, and it is an average to above average offering so long as he's able to maintain his newly found velocity. Complementing the fastball, Robles primarily throws a slider and a changeup. His slider is generally thrown in the mid-80s, but because of his arm angle, it lacks much downward break, behaving more like a cutter than a slider. When he is able to command the pitch and get tilt on it, it can be a weapon, and when he isn't, it is a fringy offering at the MLB level. His changeup is more effective pitch. It sits in the low to mid-80s, giving it 10 to 15 mile per hour speed differential from his fastball. It has good arm action and fade, and Robles is confident enough to pitch and throw it anywhere in the count and to double up when called. Of the two, the changeup is his better pitch. So this report was from 2015, and it says that Robles was up to 98, and now we look at his average fastball. Now it's got to be 97, 98 right now. And yeah, this is kind of true. I think this is a pretty good report here from Steve. He has been using his changeup more often, but I still think the slider did pick up. And, you know, we're talking about 4 years difference here, so the fastball picked up, the slider picked up, things like this. It's a bit of an interesting report. I do appreciate that Steve was the only one that had like an amateur report on, or not amateur, but early career report on Hansel Robles that I could find. And yeah, how about a 50 grade there for Steve? So appreciate that. I really enjoyed today's show. I had a lot of fun with it. I went really long. I mean, this is over a half hour show, which we don't do that often. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of the show. Hope you enjoyed this. If you did, let me know. Follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward and say, hey, Taylor, I really enjoyed this tweet, or I really enjoyed this show, not the tweet. Enjoyed the show. Didn't enjoy the show. That's fine too. But you know, you can interact with us there. Also, make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes through the Lockdown Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya Podcast. You got free and easy to download through your Apple app or Google Play Store. Also, you can play Lockdown Angels through your smart device. Just say, hey, Alexa, play Lockdown Angels, and hopefully I'm right there with you. Reminder, today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friends trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for Lockdown Angels. I'm Taylor Blake Ward. Stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you tomorrow.